remember the Pledge of Allegiance to the American flag? When did you last do it? 3 weeks ago. Okay, yeah, in school. We tend to do that in school. Do you still affirm it? Some of you may not even remember it. It's been so long since maybe you last pledged the flag. It asserts some lofty ideals. A nation under God. Indivisible. Do you even know what that word means? What does it mean to be indivisible? Prime. Thanks, Ken. What does that mean for all the non-engineers and mathematicians? Can't be divided. It's unified. Prime number can't be divided by anything other than one in itself. So, we pledge allegiance to a republic, a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Is there? You might say, well, are we a nation under God? Are we indivisible? Is there liberty and justice for all? What then is the proper response to tyranny and injustice? Well, according to the First Amendment, we can appeal. We have the right to assembly, and we have a right to lay out our grievances to the government for redress. So we may call on those in power to do what is right. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of just such an event. Any of you remember it? It's before my time. It's history to me. What happened?
It was a very violent attack by Alabama police against peaceful marchers from some of the Montgomery Capitol.
Yep. Yeah, 600 marchers were attacked at the Edmund Pettus Bridge outside of Selma. So then the question is, well, what if we make the appeal and those in authority don't do what's right? Then what? And I'm not going to answer that right now. You can think about that. But don't just think about when government is tyrannical and oppressive. What about injustice in the home? What about injustice and oppression in the workplace? In the church? In the school? In the marketplace? Would we ever dare submit to the injustice? America was born in revolution to fight for our rights. Then he comes to the latter right, First Peter, and he calls us to do the justice.
But many of us have authority over us in the workplace. How are we doing? You are treated unjustly when your supervisor or boss is crooked. When you've done what is right, and you are punished for it, how do you respond? Thankfully, we as a culture, we don't tolerate slavery anymore. But again, we often still find ourselves in positions of weakness, wherein the relationship powers on the other side. What do we do? Peter said, show respect. Continue to do good. Endure. Endure, because of this, you were called. There was a calling to suffering. I hope you heard that when the gospel was proclaimed to you. That when you embraced the gospel to follow Jesus, you understood it was going to be a path of suffering. When we follow Jesus, that's the call to endure suffering. He himself said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That is a path of suffering. Somebody carrying a cross was going to death. That's the call. Paul in Acts 14, as he visits the churches, encourages them, reminds them that it is through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom. Have you experienced? Do you know that? Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, the one who wants to live godly will suffer persecution. So Peter's writing here. You're doing right. You're doing good. You're suffering for it. Endure. But we have to endure for the right reasons. For doing what's right. There is no benefit. There is no credit if we suffer for doing wrong. But there is grace. There is favor. This is well-pleasing. We suffer for doing what is right. The construction here grammatically is very similar to Luke chapter 6. So turn back your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. Jesus asked some questions along the same lines in Luke chapter 6. And verse 32, this is his version of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus asked this, do you love those who love you? Luke 6, 32. What benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good. And lend. Expecting nothing in return, for your reward is great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. So Peter's asking the same kind of question. What credit is it if you endure suffering because you deserve it? There's no credit at all. But if you do what is right and suffer for it, He did not think to warrant his punishment. I hope that as you read through this text in 1 Peter, that you heard echoes from Isaiah 53. He had done no violence. There was no deceit. By his wounds, he had been healed. But Peter here highlights Jesus' response. There was no retort. There were no threats. There was no retaliation. Jesus bore up under suffering silently. Silently. And that's the pattern we're to follow. The manner in which he suffered. And we can do that knowing that if we are to live with him, we must also die with him. That's all that Paul is saying. If we want to be glorified with him, we have to suffer with him. You can't have one without another. We must not draw back from suffering because it's not calling. Paul says in Philippians 1:29, he has been given you to suffer for his name. It's been given to you. You embrace that call? See, this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And like Jesus, we can leave our defense in the hands of God. But Peter says here that he entrusted himself to the just judge. So when we suffer, he sees it. And he's not unmoved by our suffering. In due time, he will vindicate his people. He will bring salvation. We do not need to take any vengeance now. And that's hard. That is very hard because we want justice, and when do we want it? Now. Probably becomes a political slogan. We want it now. We want belief now. And Peter says,
suffered for doing what was right and what was good. So now in Him, we are able to live to righteousness in the power of Christ. Sin no longer holds us. So we can contentedly follow His example, trusting the Good Shepherd and overseer, word is bishop, guardian of our soul. Jesus has already gone this way. He has borne our guilt. He now is our shepherd and guardian. He has suffered for us. We may now suffer with and for Him. And we do this with a living hope to an imperishable inheritance. That's what Peter starts in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. We've been called to a living hope. To an inheritance that is imperishable. You can't separate all these tests. They have all hang together. It's within that hope now that we're called to suffer. John says in 1 John 3:6, the one who says he abides in Christ ought to walk as he walks. If you abide in Christ, there is the power to imitate Christ Himself. Abide in Him and He in you. How do you bear